How y'all doing? I'm Rich Seagraves, and I'm here today to talk about a prototype implementation of a novel public health alerting methodology. This work was funded by a grant from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So the main problem that this approach attempts to address is how to facilitate better communication between public health officials and clinicians. As has been mentioned before, the main benefits of that are improved patient care and improved reporting of outbreak incidences back to public health officials. In particular, the idea was to try to, with this approach, as best as possible, to inject the public health alert information as intimately into the clinician diagnostic process as possible. However, in doing that, you want to make sure that you limit any additional burdens on clinicians. You don't want to make their job harder, certainly. In particular, you want to avoid alert fatigue, which is the idea is the constant barrage of possibly irrelevant alerts, which can have a tendency to desensitize providers and causing them to overlook possibly relevant alerts. Now, the novel concept in this approach is to leverage the increasing presence of electronic medical record systems in clinician offices and use that as a distribution mechanism to deliver public health alert knowledge and make it a part of the diagnostic process. So the idea is that you have for a given public health jurisdiction, you have a centralized knowledge repository, and in that repository, public health officials create, update, and in general manage the current set of active alerts. Then for a particular clinician in that jurisdiction, they are in the process of diagnosing their patient. They can use their EMR to automatically query the knowledge repository to determine any relevant alerts for that patient that they are treating. So just to give you a brief overview of how the process goes. So from the public health official side, there would be an alert management interface that they would use to manage the current set of public health alerts and outbreaks that are active. It's a web-based system. You can either create new alerts from scratch or can select from a set of templates of sort of pre-canned alerts that are half filled out, and you select one, and then it partially populates the alert for you. Now, from the clinician side, here is an example of a clinician EMR system. The clinician is in the process of diagnosing the patient, building a case file, and so they decide to see, are there public health alerts that are relevant for this patient? So they simply click a button. The EMR system then generates a de-identified patient profile of various pieces of information, such as chief complaint, demographic information, and location. This de-identified profile is sent to the alert repository. A set of alerts that are relevant, given that profile, is generated and then sent back to the EMR system. Now, this prototype was built in the first half of 2009. There were participants from the Applied Physics Lab, from the CDC, from GE, University of Utah, and Regenstrief. Software developers and subject matter experts from the Applied Physics Lab and CDC built the Alert Knowledge Repository. Software developers from GE took an existing EMR system and created a demo extended version that could perform this kind of query. And then subject matter experts from the CDC and the University of Utah figured out what information should go into the alerts. The system was showcased at the HIMSS meeting, the Health Informatics Management Systems Society, in April as part of their interoperability showcase, and is also being demoed in the current interoperability showcase at Finn. So if you want to go see it, stop on by. The system was built primarily by leveraging a lot of existing components. We didn't have to write a lot of software to build this system. I'll just take you through a couple of the components that was used to build the system. So a lot of the functionality was provided by a system that Johns Hopkins University had already developed called InfoShare, the archive itself, authoring tools, alert viewing, web-based interface, and so forth. InfoShare is a web-based communication tool built by APL. It has a forum UI metaphor, so the idea is that you have subject matter experts going on and passing messages back and forth. It was primarily built to facilitate discussion between epidemiologists and public health officials at different regional public health offices who were performing syndromic surveillance. However, unlike a traditional forum system where participants in the conversation pass unstructured text messages, the participants here pass a structured information message. And I'll explain that in just a minute. So why not just use email or a forum or some other open channel of communication? One reason is legal encumbrances, patient confidentiality issues, a lack of a data sharing agreement. Also, this system was designed to, if possible, provide a higher level of discussion. That typically, you imagine that a subject matter expert, an epidemiologist, has already looked at the data, has already done an analysis, has determined that there's already something significant to share, and wants to post only the analyzed information, not the underlying data. The core concept in InfoShare is the structured message. And a structured message, you can see here, the difference is on the left is a standard just text message describing a public health outbreak and an analysis of that outbreak. And on the right is the exact same information, but with the relevant information already extracted out. Structured message is simply a collection of typed name-value pairs. The structure is pre-selected according to the domain of the application. The idea behind this approach is it's a little bit easier to read. So, all the relevant information for the domain of discourse has already been picked out, and you can just automatically scan through and not have to read through. It's not a huge savings, but something. You can put in free text. You can also put in numeric values, dates, fixed value set. And the structured messages are machine processable, that a software program could be devised to consume these messages instead of just having to parse the text, which is a lot simpler. InfoShare is implemented so that the message structure or schema is data-driven instead of being sort of, you know, table schema driven, as in a traditional relational system. So instead of, if you want to deploy a new InfoShare application, instead of having to take the existing database and make a lot of changes to table structure and go through that process, you merely change the contents of a particular definitional table, saying what each field is, and then that that changes what is expected in each message. The advantages here are the data is it's easy to roll out new sites, so that if you want to implement a new InfoShare site, you merely go in, change the information schema. It's a very fast process, and then you have a whole new domain of discourse that you can apply the site to. Also, the UI for creation and viewing is driven by the same data structure, so you don't have to rewrite all of that code to put out a new site. You merely change the schema definitions, and the UI is updated automatically. Now, InfoShare turned out to be an ideal system to build the Alert Knowledge Repository prototype in. It turns out that public health alerts could be viewed as a kind of simply structured message. They have a number of text fields describing the various alert contents that are relevant to clinicians, disease characteristics, symptoms, prevention, treatment information, reporting contacts, and so forth. But you can also add the relevant meta info that's used for matching on the alert. The subject matter experts at the Centers for Disease Control and the University of Utah did the research to determine what structure would be appropriate for our messages. So, another component of the system is a chief complaint parser. The chief complaint parser is added to when the patient profile is sent from the EMR system. You don't need to pre-select a set of sub-syndromes. You can merely send along the provider-generated chief complaint text, and then this processor will determine which sub-syndromes are appropriate. The chief complaint parser is, by the way, a natural language processing system also built by the Applied Physics Lab. Excuse me. So the idea is you start with any block of free text for a chief complaint. So, for example, elevated temperature with loose stool. The system starts by identifying and handling common spelling mistakes, capitalizations, punctuation, synonyms, so forth. Once that initial processing step is done, a set of sub-syndromes are identified that have associations with the different keywords in the text. And I apologize, what this is supposed to say is tachycardia, fever, and diarrhea. I do apologize. I don't know why that came up that way. Associated with each sub-syndrome keyword pairing is a numerical score. So, for example, tachycardia is associated with elevated with a score of plus one. Fever, imagine the FA there is fever, is associated to elevated with a plus two and to temperature with a plus four and so forth. So then you can, the system, once all the keyword sub-syndrome associations are identified, a tabulation is computed for each sub-syndrome, and every sub-syndrome that goes above a certain threshold is identified as being associated with that chief complaint text. So the FA that is supposed to represent fever is above the threshold, as is the D, which is supposed to represent diarrhea, whereas the T, tachycardia, did not meet the threshold, so it is not associated. So the chief complaint parse, one other quick note. Once a set of sub-syndromes is identified, a simple lookup table is used to map the sub-syndromes over to a set of different disease codes and that are actually embedded in the alert. So that's how you go from chief complaint to alert via the disease that's metadata in the alert. So some new components were created. Particular, a T81 request receiver, a matching processor to take the receive profile and perform the match, and then just a simple tool to generate the HTML encoding of the alert for easier reading. So T81 is a HITSPE standard protocol for the retrieval of medical knowledge. Its primary use is in encyclopedia-type applications, so you want information on, your diagnosing a patient, you want to get a little bit more information on tachycardia or whatever. Typically, you would interact with an encyclopedia-type application using a T81 protocol. It was repurposed here to encode requests for relevant alerts, that the information you're looking for, the profile is encoded in the request, and you're asking for additional information of alerts that are relevant. The protocol is HTTP-based with an XML and HTTP POST variant, and we use the HTTP POST form in our implementation. So the EMR system takes the patient information and encodes it in a T81 request, which is then sent to the implementation alert knowledge repository. Right now, the request parameters that are encoded are the chief complaint text, patient demographic information of age, gender, and race, and also the location of patient and provider. In the alert knowledge repository, the lookup is performed right now just by a just a simple value matching that is simply beyond mapping the chief complaint text, it looks for any alert that has a value match given the information provided in the profile. And notice that the profiles can be partial. You don't need to provide all this information, and the system will still perform a match. Okay. So just want to give a brief note to future work that will be done. One aspect of the system that needs, that will be extended, is to provide a clinician feedback step. So once the clinician has received a set of relevant public health alerts from the electronic medical record, once the clinician has received a set of relevant alerts from the alert knowledge repository, they can then acknowledge the receipt of those alerts so that on this, for the same encounter, the alerts aren't resent, and they only get potentially new alerts. So they don't keep getting the same stuff that they've seen over and over and over again for a given patient. Also, this clinician feedback processor we want to work on would enable a clinician to provide actual written feedback on the quality of the alert, letting them ask, indicate this was unclear, I'd like more information, which the public health officials can use to work into their process for creating new alerts. Another aspect of the system we plan to enhance is to improve the matching capabilities. Right now, we're performing a fairly simplistic rule value match. We would like to go to more of a rule-based system so that different matching logic could be put into the system according to how a jurisdiction wants to define what constitutes a match or not a match. You could also provide more flexibility in how strongly a match occurs. So right now it's pretty fairly maybe brittle, I guess. So I'm done a little bit early. Are there any questions? Yes.
How does that, you work with just a particular EMR system?
Right now it is a particular EMR system. GE took their Centricity system and they made a few simple modifications that just took the HTML response and threw it up into a web page. In general, the EMR systems to be compatible with this system would have to have some way of displaying the information that is received from the alert knowledge repository. I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Is the alert information passed on clinician request or is it automatically?
I think the workflow we had thought would be it would be on clinician request. So it wouldn't just be automatic. The clinician would say, okay, show me the relevant alerts.
Are you getting any statistics on how many alerts you have?
At present, no, but with the feedback, that's one of the, that is one of the things we want to track. I'm sorry for not mentioning it. Yes. Right now, the prototype is pretty fast, although we haven't exactly hit it very hard yet. We don't have a lot of right now. It's more of a, as the prototype works, it mostly does. It's at the stage where it only, it's to test the concept and to see it work. It only takes a few less than a second per interaction. We haven't done a lot of testing for more, scaling that out to a number of jurisdictions, but that's one of the things we are planning to do as well.